What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour on this Monday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We say hello and good afternoon to Titans General Manager John Robinson. He is on the line with us. It's been a while since we've caught up with him. John, how you doing?
Afternoon. How we doing, guys?
Well, I want to know from you what it was like going through the week of the draft. You know, obviously, everything would get started on Thursday night. But leading up to that, you were doing the Zoom calls here, you and Mike Vrabel, with the media, and you're also doing stuff with the league and trying to figure out, you know, nobody's ever gone through this virtual draft before, what the mindset was of the unknown, and now that you've come through the unknown, how do you feel?
There was a ton of work done by our IT department, our video department, to make sure that we had, you know, equipment in place to pull it off. Our football ops staff did a great job as well. I had a generator delivered here in case of emergency. We could just drop some extension cords out the window, plug everything up, and keep rolling. So you have to plan, you know, for, okay, what could happen here and think through those scenarios. The Zoom calls with our scouts and coaches talking through players and meetings and final rankings, all of that stuff went good. We had our own kind of internal mock draft about 10 days ago on Thursday, and then we had the league mock draft on Monday before the draft, and then we had another one internally on Tuesday. So we ran through scenarios, you know, several times just to make sure this is how this is going to go, this is how that's going to go. Everything went smooth. And then, you know, once the draft kind of kicked off, there were no IT glitches. There were no computer glitches. I had two giant screens. One was dedicated solely to the draft board and the actual picks. The other screen had my draft calculator, our database, a Zoom call with our scouts on it, and a Teams call with, you know, kind of with the draft room there. So we had a lot of things in place that we tested, and looking back on it, it went great. I mean, it really did. I thought the communication was excellent. There were no hiccups, and I can't wait to get out of my house because I've been in here for, it seems like, a month maybe. I would love to be on the grass watching our guys do drills and stuff now, but that's not what we're dealt. But if we had to do it again, I think that I enjoyed it. You know, it was different, but I still enjoyed it.
I did too. I didn't know what we were going to see, but I enjoyed it. I liked the human element, and I liked the families being involved in this. And I know everybody's been with their families, and so, well, believe me, you're not the only one that feels the same way. We've had this great quarantine time, but I think everybody is ready at some point to get out and kind of get back to some normalcy. But how cool was it to incorporate the family in what you do?
It was. I think they were both it was funny. They were both fired up. My two girls, Taylor and Bailey, they were fired up on Thursday because they were going to get to be a part of it. And then they got to see kind of what dad does on draft day. And then they were fired up again on Friday to go through, you know, rounds two and round three. But when you're picking at the back of the round and you're on the clock at 11 o'clock, two nights in a row, especially for my young one, who's 11, Bailey, there was less enthusiasm, let's just say, on Saturday. She's like, can we just get through this day already? Like, that's okay. But it was fun. They had a blast. They kind of gave some behind the scenes to our social media, to our fans. And it was cool to have those guys involved.
Now let's talk about your football family. So let's start with your first pick on Thursday night, Isaiah Wilson. You stay at 29 and you take the big tackle from Georgia. What did you guys like about him? And obviously, you know, eventually Jack Conklin's replacement. But what did you really like about Isaiah Wilson?
Yeah, I think, you know, he obviously played for an outstanding program down there with Kirby at Georgia. Won a lot of football games. Played against the, you know, top competition, arguably in the country. Huge man, has power, is not on the ground hardly ever for such a big guy. He's a tough guy to get around. He's got almost 36-inch arms. And when he gets on defenders and he starts pushing, it's hard for them to get off of him. And to be so big, he's really agile in our eyes at level two and out on space. He's a big man that can come under control, that can adjust and hit his target, or at a minimum impede the defender from having a clear path to whoever has the football. That's the evaluation of his on the field. And then once we got a chance to sit down with him at the combine, you know, for 20 minutes, just a great personality, balanced seriousness, you know, along with, you know, with some chuckles, deep Andre the Giant type chuckles in our conversation. I FaceTimed with him. We had a great conversation. Just felt like he would be a really, really good fit for our football team to add another big line of scrimmage player.
We're talking to John Robinson, the GM of the Tennessee Titans. And John, first off, I think you need to talk to the marketing department over there from Vrabel's house. The freeze, that could be a good, you know, it's got the Titans colors there. Just put a little twist on it. That could be a great promotion during a TV timeout or during halftime there.
Yeah, I'll leave the marketing to the marketing people. I always try to get as many good football players on a football team so that we can win games. I'll leave that to them.
Not your department. Okay, I get it, John. Let's talk about Christian Fulton. You know, last year was interesting. You had Jeffrey Simmons, and you guys talked so much about your conversations with him and how you were able to get clear answers, get the people around him, and you felt really good about him. You got a guy that probably would have gone a lot higher, and it's worked out very well so far. I'm curious, how did you try to delve into the Christian Fulton situation there? Because obviously you feel good about how he handled the adversity he had, and he's another guy that was sitting there late in the second round with a guy with talent that probably would have had him going earlier.
Yeah, again, I don't know why he was sitting there. I thank the good Lord above that he was. But, you know, you get to know the player. You ask him about the situation and get his side of the story and why it happened and what he learned from that situation. And then, you know, LSU is an outstanding program. Coach O runs a great program down there. Obviously, they won a national championship. I think they had 14 or 15 guys drafted this weekend. So that speaks volumes to the type of program that they run down there. And so we've got some really good relationships with people in that program, not just coaches that vouch for Christian and the type of guy he was, and it was a mistake. And I got a message from a guy I coached at Nichols who coached him in high school and said, you're getting a great player, but you're getting an even better person. So when you get that type of intel, sometimes unsolicited, it answers any questions that you might have, especially when it marries up to your interaction with the player a couple times, once at the combine and a couple times virtually on FaceTime.
The quarterback position, it seems like there's a little more innovation that goes on now. You guys were even using Marcus Mariota in some packages last year, late in the season and in the playoffs. I'm curious where you see Cole McDonald. Could he be one of those guys that, while he's developing as a quarterback, could, because of his athleticism, his vertical jump, some of the tools he brings to the table, could fit into packages like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that will depend upon on Cole and how much he's able to pick up and how much he's able to, you know, hold in the sponge when we start going through the game plan and the playbook, and how comfortable we feel putting him in different situations. Is he able to handle those? I think it's similar to, and maybe a little different because it's quarterback position, but, you know, it's no different than, you know, a lineman that you're asking to play guard, play tackle, maybe play center, or a receiver who plays outside, maybe he plays some slot, a corner that plays nickel and plays outside. There's different job descriptions for those positions. The quarterback to another position is probably a little bit more that goes into that. But we'll see what he can handle. You know, we're excited to work with him. Like you said, he's got really good size. He's a good athlete. He's got really good arm talent. We had great meetings with him leading up to the draft and felt like he was a player who we could get there in the seventh round that had a lot of tools that we could work to develop.
John Robinson, Titans general manager, is on the line with us. So, John, today, do you believe the backup quarterback is on your roster, or is that still a position that you want to address?
Well, I mean, I think we're excited to work with Logan. You know, I've said it before. He's matured a ton as a player and as a person since coming to our organization. You know, I've gotten some videos of him throwing around here with some guys, and he looks really, really good. I thought he had an outstanding preseason for us last year, and anxious to see if he can take that next step. Anxious to work with Cole and see what he can bring to our football team. I certainly think the talent level is there, but we've got to work with them. You know, we've got to get on the grass. They've got to get chemistry with the receivers. They've got to command the huddle when they step in there. We can't see any of that now because we're all at home. But I think once we get back to, you know, to football and somewhat, you know, normal walk of life, then we can make those evaluations and determine, yeah, we feel good about this, or, you know, who's out there that we, you know, may want to add to work with.
You didn't draft a wide receiver. I know that was a position that you might have been looking at. There are three that I believe you've signed as undrafted free agents. Don't know if you can officially comment on them yet, but why was it that you decided not to go receiver? Is it just the way the board fell?
Yeah, I think that it was really more that than anything. There were certainly some really good receivers in this class. Felt like that there were more pressing needs at other positions, and we just had a couple guys. You know, the guys that we drafted were rated a little more highly for our football team maybe than that position group. I think that also speaks to the confidence that we have in that group. You know, we've got, you know, Corey and AJ had a great year last year, and Humphreys will be back and healthy. And, you know, Khalif Raymond made some plays for us. You know, Cody Hollister made some plays for us. We'd get Cam Batson back, you know, this year, who missed all last year. So, we're anxious to get, you know, to get those guys out there and start throwing them the football and hopefully making some plays.
John, do you still have interest in Jadeveon Clowney after the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's several players that you know, we're still kind of looking at. I don't think there's anything that's imminent. But, you know, those are processes and things that you've got to work through. The medical component for these guys who are on the street, you know, you got to get those guys with your doctors and see where they're at from a health standpoint, regardless of who the player is. The financial component, there's a lot of things that you have to balance and take into account, you know, as you work through the, you know, continuing to add pieces to your team.
John, as we wrap this up, do you feel good as we sit here closing out this month of April and heading into May that it's business as usual and you guys will be out on the field for training camp in late July? Is that your feeling right now today?
I think that's certainly our hope, you know, is that, you know, this, we're going to start to be smart about, you know, the situation. This is obviously unprecedented times for all of us. You know, with this pandemic, there's nothing more important than the safety of everybody in our community and globally. You know, we try to beat this virus and make sure everybody is healthy and safe, and the conditions are such that nobody's put in jeopardy. And we're very mindful of that, but also hopeful that we can get back to, you know, kind of a normal pace of life for all of us.
Well said. I know they're putting you through the car wash today, So you've got to scoot along. Thanks for your time. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this.
Great catching up. Guys, stay safe. Thanks so much.
All right, you Thanks, too. John. That is Titans General Manager John Robinson. We will come back and talk about some of the things you just heard right here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good way to start the final hour of the program. John Robinson, Titans General Manager. And it is, as of today, their hope that they will indeed be out there for training camp at the end of July. Before we get into some of the draft stuff that we talked about with him, where do you think we sit on all that? I know they got other things that they're trying to see if they're going to be doing here soon with these draft picks, right? Some OTAs and stuff, and I don't know where that is currently. But
well, the Titans have started their offseason program virtually today.
Virtually, yes.
Yep.
But the
Mike Vrabel
is,
put a countdown on Twitter.
I don't think they want to be doing an eye training camp through a video game. So I think they're going to want to do a training camp actually out there, hands-on. As he said, get out of his house and get out there on the field and watch these guys in person, because that's truly the best way you're going to be able to evaluate what you have. But as we sit here today, where do you think we are with everything starting up on time?
It's funny, We've been having these discussions throughout, right? There are days where I'm sitting there going, yeah, I can see it. And then there's other days where I say, there's no way. You can't have this. You can't have everybody practicing. I do wonder in the next few weeks, as some of the other leagues, and there was a big article yesterday in the New York Post about this committee that the NHL has put together with players, health officials, owners, league officials all working together to try to figure out logistics and how they might be able to proceed. You know, every league is doing that, right? And the NFL would be one of those leagues. And so it probably depends on what state you live in or things like that. But I wonder if there will be, at some point in the summer, the ability for football teams to get together somewhere and have some workouts on the field, even if there's limitations and things like that. I wonder. Right now, it's no. I think that's probably the right answer right now, but I just wonder what it will look like in a couple weeks as we learn more things.
Well,
I mean, we know this. The virus is not going to go away. It's how do we deal with the virus? How smart can we be as we try to inch back forward into some opening up of things?
One thing we haven't brought up on today's show, the ACM awards that were postponed have been rescheduled, and they will be in Nashville, Tennessee in September. So they're supposed to be in Vegas. They're moving it to Nashville, and they are on September 16th. They're going to do it from three different venues, the Grand Ole Opry, the Bluebird, and the Ryman. So they're spreading it around, obviously, taking precautions there. But I look at that as a good sign. If they're scheduling a big event like that, then, you know, that's a step in the right direction. But Willie makes some great points that it's not just going to go away. So what all has to change between now and the start of training camp for us to actually think that training camp and the season is going to happen as scheduled? That way we wait to see that. But as of right now, I think it's on schedule, but again, this changes every day, it seems. So What would have to make it to change?
I mean, what would change that?
I want to see what happens when, like, if the, you know, some states may allow, like the NBA saying that they can practice at facilities May 1st if it's allowed by, you know, whatever state the team is in. I want to see how
that
goes.
It's pretty interesting to see Mark Cuban come out and say, yeah, we're not ready for that yet.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you're going to have some areas that are and some areas that aren't. So, you know,
how do you make that work, right? It's like,
well, I don't think you can.
How can you have half your
league
back?
That's why I keep going
back
and forth, right? Like, on one hand, you're like, yeah, this sounds good. And then you start thinking about all the logistics. Like, you guys probably saw Larry Brooks's article. He just raised some really interesting points. Like, that, let's say you have a city, like Michael Russo was going through city by city, all the issues. So let's say you have one that's fairly open, right? Minnesota, not a lot of cases of the virus. The team start practicing there. Now you have some players that have some health complications, right? They have pre-existing conditions that make them more susceptible to the virus. What do you do about those players? You have a player who's quarantined with his team. They're playing games. And then all of a sudden, a family member falls ill. And that player wants to go be with his family. What do you do about that situation? There's so many things that could come up. It's just so difficult to predict. You know, and then what happens, you know, when you start actually having physical competition between teams, what will that do to, you know, the rate of the spread? You know, will that happen within the locker rooms and all of that stuff? There's so much to think about.
Yeah.
Well, so. I just don't know how we're going to come up, you know, how we're going to have any more clear answers really today than a month from now. 2 months from now, right? I mean, it's
right.
Either you're going to attempt to start back up and realize that there's going to be risks no matter what. Like, it's not going to be a perfect system. There are going to be answers, or there's going to be questions to, you know, what ifs, what you just laid out. Those are some of the what ifs. What if this happens? What if, well, either you're just going to one, assume risk, and also assume that we'll just handle it case by case on what to do, because there is no manual on what to do when this happens and when this happens. Or you're not willing to do any of that, and you're just going to stay dormant, and you're just going to not have a league, and you're not going to, you know, there's going to be billions of dollars lost.
What do you think should happen in your opinion? If Darren McFarland's running things.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about football? Are we talking about hockey?
Football.
Ooh, I don't make near the money to have the answers to that. I don't know. I mean,
and
it's
okay.
A different dynamic with the NFL than it is with college and high school, because there are schoolwork, there's schools attached to that, right? And so the easy argument is, well, if they're not in school, if they're doing this, you know, virtual school, then how in the world can we ask them to have football practice, right? And played a football game if there's no school. Like, that to me, let's push that aside. That's a totally different conversation. We're talking about the pros. We're talking about professional athletes. On the NFL side of things, look, when you have a $15 billion pie at stake for one season, look, we all know it. We've said it forever, and it's true. It's the reason we say it. Money talks, and I just don't see the NFL saying, you know what, we're good on that $15 billion pie this season. We're gonna go on and pass on this season. I just don't see it. There's just too much at stake, and they'll just figure out that they have to assume risk, and then we will try to come up with answers whenever risks happen, whenever their problems arise. Because it's inevitable, right? If you do it, something's going to happen. I mean, it's not going to be smooth sailing. I mean, something will happen. Somebody's going to contract it. Somebody's going to test positive, or somebody, and like you said, it could be in somebody's family and they have to go away. I mean, that stuff's just going to happen. But they'll have to figure out how to bob and weave and maneuver through that. To sit here and tell you, Chase, what are the answers to that? If I had the answers, then I would present it to them and ask them to get paid for those answers.
Right.
Well, get paid well for those answers. I don't know. I'm not in those meetings to know how they're, you know, presenting all this stuff and what they're talking about. What are their talking points? And what are some of their solutions to some of these talking points, or at least in that room? I don't know.
Well, yeah. one thing that I think would be important, though, in the coming weeks for the NFL. Let's just keep it to that league for now. You know that these coaches and general managers are all wired the same way. They would love to get some kind of development for these new players, especially, but even new players to the team. Let's just, you know, you acquire a quarterback or a running back or a linebacker that is familiar. I wonder, in certain areas where maybe there's a little bit more lax lines by particular states, or maybe the attitude of the team is such. I just wonder what will be going on behind the scenes, right, at some random field. And so the league probably needs to get on the right page, or on the same page with that, and to kind of discuss, well, here's maybe what can be done, but here's what absolutely cannot be done. Because I just wonder if there's some temptation, right? You know, the players on their own are going to be doing some training, right? They got to get a guy out there. They're going to be throwing some pass patterns. They got to stay in shape somehow, right? So what's the right way to do it, and what's not the right way to do it?
Well, you don't walk into strangers' houses. I know that's a bad way to go about it. You don't do what Tom Brady does. You do not go into a stranger's house. Okay, that's bad. And don't go to parks that are closed. Like, that's bad. Those are things you shouldn't do. I will say this, and this certainly is not, the data you're looking for to speak for everybody. I get it. This is just a needle in a haystack. But I had 3 texts this weekend asking me about certain Titans games and tickets. So I'm not blanketing and saying, well, the fans don't think that there's, because this is a very, very small, but it did stand out to me that I had 3 different texts, 2 of them from different markets, from not from here, 1 from here. Hey, this game intrigues me. How do I go about getting tickets? And this, my response was the same to all of them. Well, I don't know if there's going to be fans in the stands. Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a season. I don't know what you're I can't answer any of that here in April. I don't know. There's so much that has to happen before we have this conversation. I'm just not willing to talk about it right now because, it could be all for naught. I don't know if there's going to be fans in the stands. I don't know if there's going to be a season. I suspect there is. I suspect that there's not going to be fans in the stands, or is it limited? I don't know what they're going to come up with. I just basically said it's premature. I appreciate that you're interested in a Titans game right now today, but I can't give you any answers today.
But I think we can safely say that the way everybody is talking is that fans in the stands, or in arenas for that matter, is the least likely thing that we'll be ready for. Right? That's going to be the last thing that gets the green light. Maybe it'll happen, but it's less likely to happen than simple things like workouts. What's the right group for a workout? Healthy professional athletes that would be much lower risk than a lot of the population that's being affected the most by the virus.
Yep. It's just the balance, and I do this with myself every time I leave the house, and it's not very often, but I do. I did on Saturday because it was just I wanted to get out of the house. So actually did yesterday. We ended up going and Maddox, during this quarantine, he has discovered that bike that's been sitting in the garage doing nothing, that he now wants to ride with all the other kids in this neighborhood, something he wasn't doing before because we were always on the go and there was really no time to ride a bike. Well, he's been doing that every single day for a long time, and so we realized his bike is too small, and so we did go and we bought a bike for him off someone. And so the point of this is every time we go out, we're at risk, right? Everything we do, we're at risk the minute we walk outside the house. So how do you balance that, right? I mean, we clearly need to go to the store. We clearly need to go do this. We clearly go do that. Well, what is the stopping point, So that's the point, and they're probably asking the same thing. Like, that's kind of what I was getting at. We're all at risk the minute we walk out the door. We're still doing it, and so what is the right way to do it? We try to limit it, right? But we're still doing it.
Minimize the
risk. But we're still doing it. Like, we're still at risk. Every time we go to the grocery store, we go do that, and we're around people, we are at risk. But that's so we're doing that. We're just trying to figure out what's the right way to do it. And they're going to have to figure out the same thing. And I don't know what the answers are, because that's even a different level, because I don't think they're going to wear mask. It's on their helmet. But I don't know if they're going to have actually other masks. I don't see them playing in masks. So, what are their precautions? You're out there it's going to be a large gathering all right there together. I mean, look around. Have you guys – I know you guys have. You've been watching the news. Have you seen California beaches? Do they look like they're concerned? Well, some of the shots we're seeing at some of the beaches right now? I mean, so it's already going on.
California beaches are open?
I'm pretty sure that's the – was that the shots I was seeing over the weekend, or was that Florida? I don't know.
It might have been Florida.
I thought it was California. No, I'm pretty sure it's California too. I could be wrong. But I know I saw beach shots, and they did not look like they were practicing good, safe social distancing at the beaches right now. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's going on. And so how do we balance all this? I don't know. And I don't know today if it's going to be business as usual. I suspect the NFL will definitely figure out something to get things going.
Yeah.
For training.
Need more data. Mm-hmm. Even if the leagues themselves have to take it upon themselves to get more data, if it's not coming from the top, because we've got to speed along this process. We need answers. Mm-hmm. We need some, wider testing, the tracing, all of the things, the terms that you hear. We've got to learn more, right? We got to learn it fast.
Well, here's one thing I feel pretty good about. I don't believe it's going to be this sport and this sport and this sport are playing and they're doing their thing, and this sport and this sport and this sport are not. You know what I mean? So it's going to be either what we're doing now, which is nothing, or it's going to be everybody's back in a capacity, in a different way, and they're doing this, they have this guideline and this rule. But I just can't imagine that this sport and this sport and this sport and this sport are back, and they're doing it this way. And this sport, that sport, and that sport, they're still on the sidelines. Do you guys agree with that or no?
No, I agree. I think
there's constant communication between all those leagues.
Don't you think it's either going to be everybody's back in a capacity in a certain way with rules and restrictions, or they're not. Nobody's back. I do feel comfortable about that.
But where can be a question, right? There's a different set of rules in New York and New Jersey right now as compared to some other states. So that's
correct.
A factor.
Yes. I'm just saying the NFL has probably got the luxury of going, well, we're going to know where the NBA and where the NHL and where Major League Baseball and where NASCAR and where the PGA and the MLS, where they all are, what they're doing. By the time it's time for them to get together for training camp, we'll have answers to what they're doing, right? Either they're back or they're not.
Well, and I think that's why you're going to see, and I know all sports are different, like NASCAR, they're further apart, golf, they're further apart, but you're going to see some, the UFC, be kind of the guinea pigs and see how they make it work, and then you'll probably have others follow suit if they're allowed to do so. You know what I mean? Like so if the UFC has their event coming up May 8th, I think it is, and WWE continue to do their things from their performance center. NASCAR could be back May 17th. So, that they could do that and see how it works. And then all of a sudden you got facilities opening for the NHL and the NBA, and who knows? So that's why I said earlier, I mean, a lot could change between now and the start of training camp based on what other sports do.
I was just reading Steeplechase. It's been canceled. I was trying to see what they've put out there. It was set to take place at the end of June.
They're going to have an event.
June 27th.
Mother's Day.
Well, Mother's Day is not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Right.
The 10th.
And I think they had already postponed it, but now I guess they're just canceling.
Yeah, now they've canceled it.
But they're going to have a fundraising event for the Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital, a Safer at Home event. And the details will be released in the coming weeks. But obviously they're adapting like we all are.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We get back into that discussion that we were having. And we also can talk a little bit further on some of the draft picks John Robinson talked about with us and the Clowney comments. We'll do all that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back around Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Monday afternoon. Let's go to John. John, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good, man. I'm a big Vikings fan. I felt like they had probably the best drafts out there. They got them Justin Jefferson out of LSU, great wide receiver for somebody that would desperately need out there with Thielen. Got Jeff Gladney from Texas Christian to fill the need at quarterback, cornerback. Overall, I think we had a great draft.
Yeah, there were a lot of people praising what the Vikings did, John, in the draft, and it's pretty interesting. People in that division didn't think the Bears did particularly well, did not think the Packers did very well, and the Lions are the Lions. And so I would say if you're looking at that division, Minnesota came out looking a whole lot, and they had a ton of draft picks. What did they end up with? It was double digit, 12 or something?
15.
They had 15 total.
15.
They traded their fourth-round 105th pick for four Saints picks, which
Jeez.
Was unbelievable. So Slick Rick did it again.
Yeah, well, it looks like people have been praising them for their draft. Now we'll see how all these guys work out.
That's right. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Dantzler is a guy that we talked about on Friday for possibly going in the second round late to the Titans. Instead, he went third round, the kid from Mississippi State, to the Vikings with the 89th pick overall.
Yeah, they got Ezra Cleveland before that, the offensive tackle from Boise State. He was another one that people were high on. He was a second round. But, yeah, they had a nice draft. And, 15 picks, you got to hit on some of them. So,
yeah,
we'll see. But just kind of looking through, they took the quarterback from Iowa in the seventh round, Nate Stanley. So,
how many of those picks by the Dolphins do you think make the team? Because, as we said, they got better by the end of the season. And, of course, the more of those rookies you keep, let's say you keep all 15 guys. Well, that's
– You mean
that
Vikings?
Means you have 15 rookies, right? That means you have a very inexperienced team if you have a lot of those guys. So I wonder at some point, do you have too many picks? You can't keep them all, can you?
I don't think the Vikings are going to keep 15 draft picks, no.
No.
Clearly.
Same
thing
with the Dolphins.
Well, and the Dolphins had 11.
Yeah.
Which
the Dolphins
are
a little
about?
Bit situation. Vikings, don't forget, lost some players in free agency. So they
right.
definitely had some
yeah,
holes.
That's a really intriguing one, the Vikings, because they've been a really good team, right? They're trying to win. They're not in a rebuilding situation. So how much room do they have for all these rookies?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with 15 draft picks. I think that's kind of a it's an inexact science, and so everybody knows you're not going to hit on all of them. But I guess the way some GMs would look at it, or some organizations, is the more picks you have, the more darts you throw at the board, the more chances you got of some of them really sticking, and it works out. I mean, we know 15, you're not going to go 15 for 15. You're not going to go 14 for 15. If you're lucky, half of them will work, right? Seven or eight of them, if you're lucky, that they'll work and be productive players for your team. But, I guess maybe that's the thinking. Just the more you have, the more you throw. And then, if you've been like John Robinson, he's actually done just the opposite. They are a team, especially the last couple of years, that they've had very few draft picks. I mean, think about it. The last 2 years, they haven't had even 15 picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, combined, you mean?
Combined, yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, what they have, six this year and –
Well, he's used
four
a lot of
last
picks
year
for different things or to move around.
Five?
I mean,
what has he had? 11, 12 picks combined the last 2 years?
Yeah, because let's see. 2 years ago they had four, and they wasted one on Luke Falk. And then last year, I think they had seven last year.
That sounds right.
So 17 picks in the last 3 years?
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit, you're sitting back going, man, we need some of these to hit. I mean, your margin for error is not good. The less picks you make, you got to have
a
couple
of
them stick.
They had six last year.
Oh, so six. So six, four, six,
the year
and six.
Before. Yep.
So 16
picks. In 3 years. The Vikings had 15 in 1 year.
Yeah.
Because the first, like John Robinson, his first year, they had 10. And then the next year they had 9. And then 4, and then 6, and 6.
So let's talk about, let's hear the clip from John Robinson on Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's several players that we're still kind of looking at. I don't think there's anything that's imminent, but you know, those are processes and things that you've got to work through. The medical component for these guys who are on the street, you got to get those guys with your doctors and see where they're at from a health standpoint, regardless of who the player is. The financial component, there's a lot of things that you have to balance and take into account, you know, as you work through the, you know, continuing to add pieces to your team.
Floyd taught him so well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can tell.
Once again, he's not dodging the Clowney question.
Yep. They want him. But it's just they got to have it on their terms.
You know what stood out to me with that is he brought up the doctors and getting them to the doctors. And that's something that has been difficult to do with all of this. And I think that that's one thing that slowed down Clowney being signed. Not to mention he wanted $20 million a year, which he was never going to get. But with a guy that has had an injury history, if you can't get him to your doctor, then you obviously want to wait until you're able to do that.
Don't they have
you
a teledoc
something too that
they could get him to? Because they're asking people to use Teladoc. Can't they get him to a Teladoc?
Yeah,
it is a nice feature. If once the doctor calls you back, you're all good. Sometimes you're waiting for a while. I remember, especially late at night, I wanted the Teladoc guy. It took him a while to call me. He finally did. It was the middle of the night. I was like, thanks for calling me back, bud. Appreciate it. He gave me some good advice. I was like, you could have done that before, you know, the clock went past midnight. But anyway, I was curious to see if he was going to say anything about the compensatory pick, because I have to believe that's a big factor too.
Oh yeah, and again the 3 o'clock deadline.
But he didn't bring that up. He brought up the medical part, but not that part.
No, but he's not. You know, to Darren's point, he's not dodging the question. He's answering it. Now he's not giving a complete answer, which you don't, you know, intend on him to, or you don't expect him to, but he's not dodging it. I think he's looking at, you know, I asked him about the backup quarterback, and he kind of gave a similar answer to that of, you know, they're going to evaluate, and he brought up Logan Woodside and giving him an opportunity. But I think that there's still a lot of time to evaluate when it comes to the completed roster. I mean, they're just in April. But we started the show talking about this. I lean at 70% that Jadeveon Clowney comes to the Titans.
Who is the favorite today to win the AFC South? Today. Right now. Who would you put as the favorite to win the AFC South?
I'll take the Titans. I you know, maybe I'm too optimistic, but I have to believe with all of the optimism right now and all the momentum, they've got to be the favorite. But as Chase has been saying all day, they're not finished. There's going to be another move or two, whether it's Clowney or Plan B or C, if Clowney's Plan A. They're going to improve the roster between now and the time they actually take the field. They have way too much cap. They have plenty of cap space and flexibility to make a move.
Okay, so who's the favorite, Chase, right now, today?
I'm going to say a slight edge to the Colts.
Okay. Does the Clowney move change that?
Yes.
I'm a little surprised Willie said the Titans. I expected both of you to say maybe somebody else, and then the follow-up
is, why wouldn't it
Clowney
be the Titans, though? Why are the Colts favored over the Titans?
Like I said, it's a slight
Rivers
edge.
Makes them better. They've done a good job in agency and draft. We'll see, though. It's a lot of unknown.
You know, what will Rivers be? I think that's.
I think, Willie, it's hard to sit here and look. Here's the balance. Here's the balance I'm doing. You lose Logan Ryan. Do we all agree this is going to be a simple exercise? Do we all agree Logan Ryan, Jarrell Casey, and Jack Conklin had big years for the Titans last year?
Yes,
they did.
Right? Okay. They were key components to last year's success. True?
I would say Ryan and Conklin Ryan a little more one, so than Casey. Yeah.
What Casey? Let's not forget him in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Jarrell Casey came up big in big spots. And don't forget what those three mean in a locker room, right? Especially Ryan and Casey on the defensive side. So those guys were key components to the Titans' success last year. They're gone. And you've replaced them with what? You've replaced Casey with now a sixth-round draft pick.
Yep.
Next year, you've replaced Conklin with your first-round pick and Dennis Kelly, and you've replaced Logan Ryan with a second-round pick. There's no way today you can say that's better. We don't know. We have no idea. But the other part of this is the other component that we can't answer is you also are expecting guys to take next steps, right? So do we not think that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be better? Right? They're banking on Jeffrey Simmons being better with a full season under his belt and much more, even more disruptive and much more of a key piece to that defensive line in year two. True?
Yes.
True.
And the other one would be Rashawn Evans. I think Rashawn Evans is a guy that has got more. He's got even more to give. And I think he's going to just get better. So there are certain guys they're expecting to be even better. Now, the question is, you also have the other part, Willie, when you say, how could you say the Titans? You're also banking on Tannehill and Derrick Henry doing exactly what they did. I don't think you could say they'll be better. So you're now banking on them to do exactly what they did last year. Don't you think that's a hard one to say, yeah, we need Derrick Henry to be the leading rusher in the league and Ryan Tannehill to have a magical season again?
Yeah,
isn't that
I think
a lot to ask?
That's a lot to ask. Have a magical season, but I think the chemistry. I think why couldn't Brown be better next year? Why couldn't
could be yeah
why,
could
why,
be
you know we got a, there's a lot of guys that
could Corey
that could
Davis
be better,
be better
than they were. Absolutely, he can be better.
Could Jonnu Smith be better?
I think so.
He's going to have to be,
and well, I think there will be another there will be another significant player added to the defense, whether it's Clowney or somebody else. Clowney, Ryan, or other. They're going to make an upgrade there. They're going to make an upgrade there.
I was going to say the point of this conversation is I just kind of feel like they have to for you to make a strong case this team is equal or better than last year. If you take your glasses off, your glasses that we live here in this market and cover this team, and root for this team, you'd be hard-pressed, unless they make a Clowney-like signing, to say this team is better on paper. On paper. True?
I think they're better.
Because of what we just said.
You think they're better?
I don't know how you could make that case.
They improved a lot from the beginning of last season to the end of last season. I think they'll keep getting better.
I'm not ready to go that far. Not yet.
The other argument is they get Taylor Lewan, at least today, for a full season.
That's
he doesn't
a big
sit
one,
out
right.
The first four games. So that's another mark into better. And that makes Saffold better, right? Makes the whole offense.
And Nate Davis. Don't forget Nate Davis took half the season to get on the same page as everybody else. They start the season with him that much further ahead. That was a disaster for the first half.
It's pretty interesting. The pros and the cons list, they're pretty even, right? I can go on. Dean Pease, retired. You don't know how that's going to be – it's pretty interesting. Things – the cases for and against, it's a pretty good list on both sides. A list on why they're better, a list on why they're not better. Something we can talk about this week for sure. That is going to do it for Monday's edition of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy this weather outside. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Be safe. We'll see you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.